Welcome back. Great to have your company wherever you might be listening. We were talking earlier in the program about some of the most watchable players in the game. The fact that Charlie Cameron and Dustin Martin are going to be going at it tonight, which we can't wait. Well, Mitch Georgiadis has become one of the most exciting players to watch as well, and has been nominated for the NAB Rising Star Award as the best player of the last round. And he joins us for a chat. Welcome to you, Mitch. Great to have you back on the program.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
Congratulations. It was fun to watch your preseason. I did one of your Master Series games where you really did show the signs that you were going to be ready round one. You got the round one call up. It's been a pretty exciting start to your career.
Yeah, it's been very exciting. Obviously, coming off a year where I didn't play a whole lot of football, just to be back out there playing footy is pretty special. So I'm very excited about that.
Well, talk us through the injury, because it was a corky that bled, and we've had a couple of those in the AFL in recent times. You had this massive operation. What, you spent a couple of nights in hospital, three surgeries, and you got that huge scar on your leg. It shut down your whole 2019.
Yeah, exactly. So at the end of 2018, I suffered a cork that just really turned into a bit of a pain in the ass and sort of calcified, so it turned to like a bone sort of structure. And then it sort of led to bleeding into my quad, which forced me to have, like you said, three surgeries, and unfortunately missed out on playing a game of football in 2019, but was able to get my body right for the draft combine and luckily enough to be picked up, which was very exciting.
So you did that corky in the Futures game at the MCG. Was that grand final day? And then you sort of didn't worry about it. You ended up going to Bali, didn't you, thinking it was okay?
Yeah, exactly. So it wasn't a bad cork. It wasn't anything really too bad at all, to be honest. And yeah, like you said, it was grand final day. Then the next day I flew out to Bali and went on a surfing trip with my dad and my mate, which was really good fun. But then it came back and it started getting really stiff, and I thought, oh, something's not quite right here, and sort of had a couple of weeks off, and then came back, and then I think I was at my West Coast one-week introduction sort of thing, and I was walking across the over one day and it just started spasming and it throbbed and it just blew up into like a balloon pretty much on my quad. And from there went straight up to the hospital and yeah, it was pretty, just blew up from there, I guess.
And you missed a few flags as well. Hale, you didn't get to play in their premiership. Subiaco also, you missed their flag?
Yeah, exactly. I think every team that I would have played in that year won a flag, which is a bit disappointing, but no, it was all right.
It would have been a bit disappointing for you, especially not to play in the under-18 carnival. So you went into the draft
at
the end of 2019, not really knowing where you might be taken.
Exactly. I think after playing a whole year of not playing footy, you're sort of a bit unknown where you might sit, but you sort of just rely on your hard work you've done to get back and hope that your year before was good enough to impress the recruiters.
So Port took your pick 18 based on your 2018 season, which was a bit of a speculative pick from them. But you didn't really speak to them pre-draft, did you? You didn't have a face-to-face with them at all.
Yeah, it was actually very interesting. It was probably the only club that I didn't speak to before the draft. And I sort of wrote them off saying probably wasn't going to go to Port Adelaide. I was thinking more along some of the Melbourne-based teams. And then on that night, when I think it was a minute before the actual draft came out, Ken just rang me and said, do you mind if we take you at the next pick? And I was shocked because I hadn't really spoken to them at all. But yeah, very excited to end up at such a great club.
And during the coronavirus shutdown, I understand you went back to your country town in WA, Dunsborough, which is, what, 250k down the coast south from Perth, and just hung out fishing and stuff. I've been told you fished from your front veranda. That can't be true. It can't be that close to the beach.
So I've got a property down there that we just went down, and it was a pretty good place to isolate. So we just went down there and did a lot of fishing. It's literally on the beachfront, so just straight off the front, fishing and crabs and you name it, off the front. So it was a good way to get away from everything and a nice place to settle down for a little bit.
Do you miss that? I know you live down at Tennyson now, which is Henley Beachway, for those people who don't know SA. At least you got the beach right there, but it's not quite the same as it sounds like it was at Dunsborough.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice place for the world down there. So definitely miss that, but for sure when I get back to over the off-season, we'll enjoy it down there while I can.
Everyone knows you're a high flyer. You put on about 10 kilo and ran the fastest 2K time, I think, at one of your combine trials as well. So you're a pretty good athlete.
Yeah, not too bad. I've grown up doing lots of athletics and stuff like that. I've always been doing the running and the jumping and that sort of stuff. So I guess it's just a natural part of my game that I like to use and utilize, I guess.
And you mentioned your dad. You went surfing with your dad. I wasn't going to mention your dad. You sick of talking about your dad?
I heard his name a couple of times recently. So, yeah, I'm getting there, getting to that point.
You expect, I presume you're doing 20 of these today. You'll get asked the dad question every time. So I might leave it out. How's that sound?
I'm more than happy with that.
Everyone knows the story. I won't even go there. Let me take you to another story then. For people who don't know Port Adelaide, Tim Jenever normally does this induction. Have you talk me through your Tim Jenever induction to Port Adelaide after joining the club in their 150th year?
Yeah, so obviously at the start, like you said, we do an induction into Port Adelaide, and Tim does it. And he's a very passionate man about the club and sets the tone from day one about the roots and the history of the club, and it's a pretty special way to walk into the club knowing that someone like him, and there's many others like him as well, and the passion they show for the club and the roots that it goes down with. So it's pretty special when you walk around the club and he's telling you and he knows every single thing about every single game, and it's pretty amazing. So it's a pretty good way to come into the club.
Did he have a tear in his eye, the little guy? Because he gets pretty passionate when he's giving you the explanation.
Oh, I think there might have been one or two there. I reckon.
He's funny. Did he tell you who's worn your jumper? Like Jack Trengove, and I think Donald Dickey wore 19 for a while, didn't he? And Matt White?
Yeah, I think so, yeah, because on our locker board, it's got all the players that have previously worn your number, and I think there's probably 10 of them before, and yeah, he goes through the list as well, so that's very good.
And before I let you go, at least your parents did get to see your round one game, I think your debut. They got to go to the Gold Coast to see that one, didn't they?
Yeah, they got the call up. I think throughout the whole week they were told that they wouldn't be able to get over there. But I think on the Friday, and I was playing on the Saturday, the AFL and the club rang them up saying that they'd be able to come over, which is great. It was amazing because they've both been massive influences in my football career. So to have them over there was really special to see them after the game.
And you did get a chance to have a chat to them after the game, even though you weren't allowed to actually have contact with them after the game. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we just met outside the ground and just saw them there, which was great, just to say hello and speak to them there, which was, something pretty special.
And last night, I got to ask you a couple of questions about last night. Your thoughts, your reflections on last night. They gave you a good run for your money and they had you on the ropes a couple of times.
Yeah, I think early on we talked about it. We just suffered around the contest a little bit, and that wasn't just from within, it was a bit without as well, from the outside as well. But we got on top of it, I think, in the third quarter really well, and we started playing the footy we like to play, the really quick, the fast footy, and our midfield started getting on top of theirs, and I think it was 17-3 clearances or something like that. So in that, or entries in that last in that third quarter, which was a testimony to them and makes it a lot easier for us when the ball's coming in that many times.
And I spoke to you pre-season. You're pretty much given a licence by Ken to jump when you feel like it.
Yeah. I got told off once or twice last night, which is probably my fault. I think I got in the way a little bit of Charlie sometimes. But, yeah, generally just tells me to play my role and just to do what I like to do, which is to jump, but also to recognise when Charlie's or whether it's West off, whether they've got a clear jump and just to help and support them.
And Charlie was in unbelievable form again. When he's grabbing them like he's grabbing them in the packs, it must be great to play around him.
Oh, it's special. It's very special. When you think you've got it and he's just, well, I think that was that one-handed grab last night where he just reached over.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing to watch that. When his hands are as big as they are, that's crazy.
And I've got to ask you about the game that won you the NAB Rising Star nomination, obviously, as well. There's been a bit of talk about the Melbourne game. That must have been some fun for you.
Yeah, that was a great game for everyone. I think we played as well as we could have, and boys did really well, and it makes it a lot easier, like I said, when the ball's coming down the way it did for us forwards to get on top of it, which is really exciting. And I mean, Charlie's got a couple of blokes hanging off him. It also makes it a bit easier for us to get a free jump at it.
You feel confident you can beat anybody, any ground, any day, including finals?
Yeah, I think for sure. I think we've got that belief within our group. After we've gone through the breaks or in the tough times, and I think we've responded well, and we're embracing every challenge that comes our way. And I think, we're definitely good enough for sure.
Great to have a chat to you, Mitch. Congratulations on what you've done so far. It's only 3 games in, but hopefully we're talking to you at your 253rd at some stage. Congratulations, and you're a joy to watch. Thanks for your time.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Cheers.
Mitch Georgiades, the Rising Star nominee for the round just gone. Not for last night's game, even though he was good again last night. The pick 18 that Port Adelaide took in 2019's draft after not playing at all in 2019, and a whole interview without a mention of his dad's 8. You're with Dwayne's World.